Welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 76. I'm Adam.
24 more till 100.
And he's Paul.
Yeah.
And it's June 17th, 2007.
Woo! Woo, indeed. Right, we're starting off with letters because we had a letter. We need to get more because we had lots and then we had none. Probably when we started insulting everyone, they stopped sending us letters.
Send us feedback. Letters.
So yeah, this is from Mr. Ho 101.
Say no more.
Well, that's what you put. Mr. H-O 101. Hi, love the show. Download it with Zencast. That's a Creative Labs aggregator site type thing. Because we're listed on there.
Bling.
Because I put us on there. One thing, could you please turn off your mobile phones when recording the show as they interfere with the sound? As I have headphones on, the sound deafens me. Catch you online sometime.
So now we have our mobiles on the other side of the room.
Yeah, look, mine's over there by the other computer.
Mine's in my hoodie.
Adam's is over there somewhere.
Might get stolen by the cat there.
Is it still out there?
I don't know. Is the cat still out?
Nope, she's moved.
Paul's got a big, white, fluffy cat. And it normally sleeps in a wardrobe. In our quarters.
Yeah, remember the time where it jumped out and scared the crap out of you?
Yeah. I thought it was in there, and then I thought, no, it wasn't. And I opened the door, and
well,
it just leapt out.
There was a noise, and then I said, look out, it's the boogeyman. And then, you know, it stopped, and Adam was just looking at it. And then the cat, like, shot out of the cupboard like a minute later.
Yeah, because I looked to see if it was in there and I couldn't see it and I just left the door open and then...
It's the boogeyman.
It's a fluffy cat.
Yeah, so thank you for that letter.
Thanks for letting us know because we don't listen to...
Listen to the episode because
we've
think
it
sucks, to
we've
be
just,
honest.
We've just said it. We don't want to listen to everything. We listen to parts to make sure it all works and if there was any moments where I made a stupid noise or... You know, someone came in and said something, we go in and edit, but we don't listen to the whole show, because that's another hour wasted. We could be doing more interesting things, so thanks for letting us know if there was any problems with the show quality, so...
If you do want to improve our sound quality, I recommend you give us some money, or give us some decent audio equipment.
Yeah, we have this tiny little mic that he's had for ages and he blue tacked to the table.
Yeah, but it's kept...
But it's high quality blue tack.
Yeah, no cheap blue tack.
No, we don't do cheap blue tack at GamerCast.
Although it's about a month old, because it's the same blue tack, so it's probably covered in dirt and who knows what.
Yeah, blue tack's very resilient.
Yeah, woo. So you can also send your feedback to us at feedback@gamercast.net. Or better yet, you can leave it on the...
Portal forums.
No, you idiot, on the blog.
Blog.
Which is gamercast.net.
GamerCast.net.
Because everyone else can see it.
Yes, and everyone can chime in and put their 10 cents down.
Yeah, where the hell's Darth Ura? He hasn't posted anything in ages.
Yeah. I'm not happy.
Ooh, Oxlow says he has some white tack if you want it.
Ooh, we can go up upper class. That's going to improve the sound quality. White tack.
Yeah, how about a new microphone?
We could do, I must admit, we could do with like a dual audio plug and then just have headsets with microphones. That'd be really
spacey. Yeah, if you want to buy it, because GamerCast runs at a loss, it's hemorrhaging money.
Well, how about if you twist your wallet's arm a little bit to say, get some headphones and mic for playing Halo 2 when I get it, and I'll get us...
I've got a headphone there I can use. Did you see...
We can use our...
Dude, did you see what I posted on the forums? I said the boards can no longer get a free ride, and I say, personally, I'm in favour of a subscription model that's, say, $70 per month. And people just thought I was joking. No, I'm serious, man. We need money. because we need to like give up work and become billionaires.
Do you know we could always do like what Last.fm do?
What's that?
Well, Last.fm, they give you all these features but only certain amounts of work. It's like AVG. So you have to pay a subscription to get all the features, but the subscription is actually only £1 a month.
£1?
But it's more likely...
Let's make it £100.
But it's more likely that people are actually more likely to go, oh, I'll just subscribe to it and let it come out of my account, and once a month I lose £1, it doesn't matter. But £1 off a lot of people accumulates through a lot of things. So for portal forums, if everyone paid £1 a month...
PayPal will munch most of that £1.
Yeah.
So a yearly subscription would be better.
Yeah. Say it's £1 a month, but you add it all up into a...
But the thing is, we don't have anything additional we can flog. Because we've talked about doing videos and this and that and live. But, you know... Well, what we need to do is re-encode videos and stick them on YouTube to try and get some traffic.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Well, I have to do some extra work and get some other bits and bobs done.
Although I should actually work out how many downloads we've had now. Because what was it the last time I worked it out?
Reel it in.
Damn, I didn't have a total. Oh, there it is, 21,000. So let's just work it out. So it's 21,000 as of last year. So this year we've probably got... we're probably up over 30,000 downloads. And two people donated. Thanks.
It's the same theory as how, like, look at the National Lottery. They have a...
We should do that. We should start our own lottery. Everyone pays £1. And if you get, like, 20... a string of 20 numbers and letters right, you win £10.
Exactly. That's how the National Lottery works. They keep a majority of it for themselves and give this cash sum. But they don't realise that if everybody plays a couple of times a week and pays a couple of quid... And everybody does it in the United Kingdom. That is way over the cash prize they normally give out.
Of course it is.
So that's what I mean. It's
how
like
capitalism, stuff. Man. It's how they make money.
So the more people we have listening, and we get them all paying on at least on Tribal Report forums with £1 a month. You know, pound's nothing to people a month.
You wouldn't get £1 a month out of me.
You won't pay for anything there.
That's not true. I bought a game the other day.
Because you traded in your game bonds. You told me when I went in that you came in and cashed them in.
Okay, so I didn't actually pay for them with my money then.
I was like, so that's how we bought Portal. That's how we bought Halo 2 and Forza. I was like, ah, nice one, Paul. I like the way you think.
Well, I've only got like £5 of them left anyway, so I'm running out. I need some more. Anyway, if you remember last week, we talked about the whole church thing,
yes.
Manchester Cathedral.
Speaking of which, seeing we did the show on the Sunday, that Monday when I was at work, they actually put it on the radio. There was a big thing about it on the radio. About
way to copy Gamercast.
And I was like, yay, we beat the radio.
Well, we always beat the radio. Because the radio is slow. So yeah, Tony Blair stuff chimed in on this.
Yeah.
He basically agreed with the church. So yeah, Tony Blair, I know we've had our disagreements in the past, like with everything, apart from the minimum wage and subsidised museum entry. There's only two things I think we can agree on. You're totally wrong, man! So yeah, started with the church, Sony shouldn't have done this, blah blah blah, degenerate to a culture, blah blah blah, blah blah blah. It was, you know, the regular, you know, what's his name, Jack Thompson rant. Mm. Oh, it's bad. I've got shares in TV. Oh no, people are playing games that are watching TV. Oh no. Yeah. Dude.
To be honest, you could do the same thing about TV if only...
Television's far worse.
57% of people watch TV. You could get away with doing it to TV because not everybody's completely understanding, but everyone watches TV, so everyone's a bit more careful. But
Gamercast is in trouble with the church.
No,
what else is
God.
New?
Games are not played by everybody, especially the more powerful people. They don't they're at a generation where they probably would have generation in society where they would have missed out on the games, so they don't understand the concept, they don't understand them, they don't play them, and so they just like, it's kind of like, we don't understand you, so you're evil, burn at the stake. I'm crossing my fingers.
I don't think it's a generation issue. I think it's an ownership issue.
Oh, there's people
in traditional organizations don't own anything in the computer industry. So any attempt to stab at the computer or gaming industry is a good thing because it is a competing industry. Mm. Oxlow says, make a game shooting Tony Blair. I disagree with that. Gamercast is a non-violent organization. Dude, terrorist legislation? Don't go there.
You could make him into a character and put him on Halo 2. Have him running across the gorge. Run him over in a warhole! You'd have to be a clone,
well,
though. Because
can I just say, I'd much rather run over David Cameron. Can we do that instead, please? Because after all, Cameron is just the worst version of Tony Blair.
Yeah, true.
Tony Blair is just a more famous.
Yeah. Yo, Tony Blair. Because he sits right next to Mr. Bush.
Yes, you're my best friend. Talk to me, stroke me like a puppy.
Well, no, you know, people say, oh, it's, you know, he's being Bush's... He's not. He was looking out for the interests of British capitalism.
Hmm.
So, you know, he's not really being a... You know, the French were looking out for their capitalist interests. Their capitalist interests were in the preservation of the current Iraqi regime, because that Iraqi regime owed them money. The Britons weren't getting anything out of it, so yeah, let's blow them up. Arms industries get money. Reconstruction, you know, construction industries get money, and so on.
There's a whole load of politics behind it.
What's economics?
Yeah.
To quote Comrade Lenin,
bow down.
Dude, you don't need to face the poster of Lenin.
I wanted
anyway,
to bow to it.
All he says on that is disarmament is the ideal of socialism. So he's not talking about Iraq. But yeah, politics is just concentrated economics.
Yeah.
Which is an accurate statement, considering it's only like a sentence long. Anyway, this is something you brought to my attention. This is Sega.
Yes.
Look at that guy. He looks like Mel Gibson after he's been crucified. And after he had like his been put back together. He's Humpty Dumpty.
It's Mel Gibson's love bunny.
It's Mel Gibson after he'd been Humpty Dumpty fired.
Yes, it's Scott Steinberg. Or is it Steinberg? Yeah, Steinberg.
Sega VP of marketing.
Yep.
So this is one of those marketing people.
Yep.
Who, if they want to give us some money to market their games, we are more than happy to receive.
They're questioning the momentum of Nintendo's Wii.
Not the momentum. They're questioning the creative pool and the depth of the Wii. Yeah, but that's in sales. We're not talking about...
Yeah. But yeah, they're a little bit concerned that it's, you know, it's going to bottom out.
We're a little bit concerned. There ain't anything more you can do with it.
Yeah. The problem is, it's kind of like you said, that the Wii is considerably underpowered compared to the PlayStation 3 and the N64. My mouth's gone away with itself. It's Xbox 360. Nintendo has stated that their console is about 1.5 times more powerful
than GameCube. So basically, Sega is saying that in a couple of years it will look really dated.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Your foresight is like overwhelming. It looks dated now.
The problem is, it's kind of like if you go back to old school.
If you go back to old school.
And then it's like
when side scrolling was a thing yet to be invented by the Uber John Carmack.
Yeah, you had PlayStation come out, then you had, you know, everything came out, and you had N64, and that was all 3D, and it was like, wow, it all looks absolutely amazing. And then it wasn't until PlayStation 2 came out that it was crisp graphics came out,
What?
And then we push.
Dude.
Let me finish. Then we push the bar a bit higher with the Xbox. And then.
A bit higher? You had more than 4 megabytes of texture memory.
An incredibly large amount higher. But from then onwards, it seems like we've gone into the graphics wars. It doesn't matter how good playability is.
Well, I don't mind with the graphics wars because we win the graphics wars.
It just seems like a console is no good unless its graphics look as realistic as possible. But, you know, gameplay is a large amount of it, and look at the sales between PS3 and the Wii. So, to be honest, I can understand where he's coming from. He's not saying in comparison, but...
He's basically worried because there's not much more they can do with it.
Yeah, their creative pools
have
dried up.
People have done the whole, let's wave the magic wand around.
Yeah, I think people are just paying
more
attention.
What else are you going to do with it?
I think you've got to say to yourself, look, the virtual controller is there. It is wireless, we're plugged into the Wii remote. Teeth?
No, they taste horrible.
Oh, right. What a bloody drink it then.
Well, but...
Yeah, to finish off your
coat.
I'm
putting it in the bin now.
I've lost my train of thought. I'm not going to make you pause and rewind back.
No, you're definitely not, because I can't be bothered.
I can understand where they're coming from. There are worries that it's going to go the same way as the GameCube.
Yo, dude, Achilles is in the chat room.
Achilles.
Or Achilles. Achilleman.
I keep saying Stop saying Don't say
Dude.
There
ain't much more they could do with it, so they're a little concerned that, you know, it'll just seem dated, and there won't be any new ideas for it, so the long-term survival of it is short. Because it's just a fad.
One of the big problems is they're paying too much attention to the controller. The controller's
there.
That
is what they're saying.
Really, you need to be paying more attention to the connectivity of it. Get some games out there that connect with the DS. Get some games using the Miis more.
Oh, dude. What did I see? Something about Miis. Keep talking, I'll think of it.
But there's so much more connectivity with the Wii that was there as an aftermath that people pay more attention to the Wii remote than anything else. With the ability of the downloads, Wii 24, being able to update stuff.
Wii 24, what is that? Some
it's basically
series on TV, isn't it? 24?
Wii 24 is pretty much.
Oh, well, they should do a copy of that with Miis in it.
Jack Bauer and me. Oh my god, that would be brilliant. Oh. But I like mine, and I'm really happy with it. I think some of it's down to the developers. Fair enough, maybe they have gone as far as they can, but they really need to be pushing more stuff. Ooh, EA official press release concerning Rhea Donald.
Monadinho me.
Yeah,
basically their football game, they've got Miis in it, and all the like football people are made up as Miis.
Oh, that's cool. I suppose you'd be able to add your own Mii and play as your own character.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. EA really have got on the Wii bandwagon. They've seen a real big chance to do a lot of stuff and rehash a lot of stuff,
yeah.
Using the remote. I think one of the problems is people don't know what to do. They're stuck for ideas of what to do with this remote. Like I keep saying, with a lot of people pay more attention to the idea of using the motion sensor without using the pointer. I like the Dragon Ball Z with the use of the pointer on and off the screen, and it actually knows which direction you took it off the screen as well. So things like that need to be used a little bit more in different combinations. Just because the thing's motion sensor doesn't mean your game requires motion sensor. Sometimes it might be wise to just use it as a button. Some people are just trying to get that emphasis of what was used originally when it came out to E3 was that people felt like it was full motion sensor, as in you could move your arm around and it was like it would be virtual onto the screen. Now some games have proven that they will pick up that information, like if you play baseball, when you're moving the remote around, it does move in time with the bat in the hand. And the same with the gun and sword in Red Steel. As you move your hand around, the hands on the character will move in motion. But not everybody's done that sort of stuff, so...
Not everybody needs to do that.
Exactly. And not everybody needs to copy what the previous people do. Some people need to rethink and start saying, I don't need to use all these features. Just because they're there doesn't mean I should use them. I should be getting in there and thinking about the games.
it's the games that matters.
Yeah.
And the operating system on the Wii, because if you've got a really good operating system, you can spend hours playing with it.
Because the operating system on the Wii is just a big TV, and you can just flip around and do what you want. I can sit there, and I can play on my Wii for ages, and I don't even have to have had a disc in, because I can go on and buy video games and play them. I can go on the internet and surf it. I can chat to my friends, play with my Miis, check the weather, news reports, and I can also vote on silly subjects and stuff like that. And it's the same reason why I like my Xbox 360. Again, I sit down when I had it, my original one, I used to sit my ass down in the beanbag, and I couldn't be asked to get up and put a video game in, so I just hit the Xbox control, on it comes, play a bit of Geometry Wars, see what games are out, download a video, watch something. You know, it's that whole
cool man.
People need to be adding more stuff to it, so.
Speaking of the Wii and its browser, do you see that Apple released Safari for Windows now?
Really?
Yeah, it's the biggest pile I've ever used.
You've used it?
Yeah, let me just boot my virtual machine up.
Ooh. Now this I'd like to see.
Yeah, so Safari is their own Macintosh browser.
It goes with their OS, isn't it?
Yeah, it's currently in beta 3. This will just take a minute to boot up. So yeah, it basically, iTunes, for example, uses the Safari engine to render the, iTunes store.
Right.
So it's the same basic engine as that. Really, they've ported it to Windows.
Thinking that they might be able to.
It's slow. See, Apple claim it's the fastest browser. Faster than Firefox, faster than IE. It's a lot. It's, I think it's slow. Let's just load up a website. Pick a website.
Yeah, that one. That's a really good website. Gamercast.net. Never been there before, but I've heard good things. What's that advertisement we got at the top of our website?
We have adverts on the website.
I know, but what is it? I can't read it from here. Discover the new Brain Challenge mobile games.
Ooh, fun. So yeah, if you look really closely, you'll notice something as well about the fonts.
They look weird. I can't put my finger on it, but what?
They're all blurry.
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. I thought it was the fact I had my head far away from the screen. No clear text.
Let's load it up on the... Let's open the Gamercast website in a normal browser, and it's all
color looks really off.
It's
yeah, and so the top is all grey and colorless with the blue, and it's just like it looks like
they're using their own stupid. I mean, just look at that. They're using their own stupid font rendering instead of doing what Windows does, so it looks completely weird compared to all other applications. This is the most annoying thing. Notice the cursor doesn't change?
No.
You can't flip and resize it unless you go down in this little corner, and even then you only occasionally get the little thing come up, just flash up for a second. And you resize it. Terrible. It's in beta 3, but if you compare it to like beta 1 of IE7, which was, you know, pretty rock solid, it's terrible. It doesn't follow any of the Windows guidelines whatsoever. It uses its own stupid. It uses the ugly grey that all Apple's applications use.
To be honest, I got a feeling I know what this is for. This is for all Apple users that for some poor reason have ended up being stuck on a PC and can't hack it and need a little bit of familiarization with their homeland.
What the hell's... Look, there's an icon there, what looks like an insect.
It looks like a spider.
What is that? Whoa, it just screwed the whole screen up.
Add my page to what? Submit your page? What?
Oh, that's to submit bugs.
Bugs.
Why is that in the flipping corner?
Why does it have its own button? Ah, that's right. So it has its own button because things break so often. Come on, Paul, think about it. We're in the land of the Apple. Everything breaks. So you need a bug button. This doesn't work. It's a bug.
Yeah.
Awful.
Also, speaking of Apple's, the day it was released, they came out and said it's been engineered from day one to be secure. Guess what? Half a dozen security vulnerabilities discovered on the first day. It only took somebody a couple of hours to find them.
Okay.
It's terrible. It really demonstrates Apple's complete lack of software engineering ability. One day for Safari for Windows becomes 0 day nightmare.
Do you know something? I am still surprised that Apple haven't just ended up becoming a aesthetic PC company.
Well, this is what I think they're planning on doing. Do you want to hear it?
Go for it.
Right, basically what they are doing is they're slowly migrating their applications over to Windows. Done iTunes. And they've had QuickTime for years, obviously. And now they're bringing their browser over.
They want to do a Sega, don't they?
Plus, the Macintosh hardware now is Intel based, so you run Windows on it.
They're turning
Kill Mac OS X, put Windows on it, bundle all their applications on top of Windows, sell it.
You basically release the aesthetically pleasing Apple's shapes that they like to make, which are ended up being the fashionable things.
Running Windows with Apple's application suite on top.
Yeah. So you could probably... Yeah, so maybe that's what I'm thinking is, what I was getting to, is that they're either just going to do software, or they're literally just going to make PCs, but they're going to make Apple PCs. You know, like you buy an Alienware PC, where it's a PC
Yeah,
with,
they're just become another OEM.
Yeah. And they'll make... You'll buy yourself a PC that comes with a big Apple widescreen with the mouse buttons, but, you know, you're all of a sudden, the mouse is... will change and end up with two buttons.
Well, you can use multi-button mouse anyway.
Yeah. And
stop using five-year-old arguments against them. You undermine our position.
No, I'm just saying, you could see it changing into being, like you said, an OEM company making...
Well, I mean, if you take in the Apple store, when Windows Vista came out, a lot of the Macs in the store were running Windows Vista.
Really?
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, it's...
So I think that's what their long-term goal is.
To slowly take away the Macintosh without anybody noticing it, and people just to carry on buying and thinking Apple's great. But before you know it, you buy an Apple, and you haven't bought an Apple because it's an Apple Macintosh. You bought an Apple because it's a PC, but you just like the brand. Could be a good way to save the company, though. I would think it's a very smart move.
Oh, it would be a smart move. It would cut a lot of their development costs. Because they wouldn't need to support Mac OS X anymore.
Yeah. Microsoft can do all the hard work for the operating system. All they got to do is engineer the bundles together and preload all their software onto it.
And the thing is, nowadays, Microsoft won't be able to do anything about it because Apple will be free to kill Media Player, kill Internet Explorer, load all their own stuff, and Microsoft can't do anything about it.
Mm. And it proves the argument, you know, if you want a Apple version of Vista style setup, you can have it.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good way, because it takes the pressure off a lot of this corporation hunger beating of Microsoft with, you're all trying to take it over. And it's like, well, if Microsoft uses Apple as an example and say, well, you can buy an Apple PC with Vista on and use all Apple applications instead and have it looking like an Apple, but it runs exactly as smooth and as well as, because it's got our software on it.
Achilles says, speaking of Safari, it's shit! Exclamation mark. It crashed on my computer a few minutes after I started using it. No, oh, I'm really surprised.
Now we know why the bug button is actually there.
Yeah, so it is very beta. It's not a Microsoft beta where it's solid. Mm. You know, you install a Microsoft beta, it's been heavily tested already.
This is how they heavily test it.
This is beta free as well.
Yeah.
And they chuck it out and, you know, look at what happens. Also recently in the news, the Apple fan cult lame people have just been the hatred. Mary Jo Fowley basically wrote an article saying Leopard copies a lot of features. Well, she didn't say copy, she said looks like Windows Vista. Because the you know, the bar along the top, the menu bar, that's transparent now. Where did they get that idea from? And yeah, basically things like that. And they absolutely went mental. They said she should be fired and, you know, everything. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's got live previews now. Live pre... Where did live previews come from?
Vista.
Oh, I remember. They came from Windows Vista. So, yeah, I mean... I was going to blog about it, but I couldn't be bothered. Because you know what the Apple people are like. They are... They're just history revisionists. Oh, well, Apple invented everything. Oh, gee, the fact Microsoft showed all this stuff before you did, before you even announced it, and yet somehow you invented it. Right, that makes sense. PDC 03. Enough said.
It's a bit like someone continually whinging because their culture invented the ultimate sword. Yeah, another culture grabbed the sword, stabbed their leader through the heart, and conquered the entire globe. And they're going, well, we made the sword. It's like, yeah, but we conquered you. Tough.
Well, they didn't make the sword, did they? Let's find a really good... Did you see the thing, the video someone put together showing what PC adverts were like compared to Macintosh adverts? Do you see this?
Because I know you got the whole the big famous thing with the PC advert.
I'm sure I must have showed you this. So yeah, it's all nice looking, you know, PC adverts. You know, you've got Sony, Dell, HP and all that in there. You got the Microsoft Photosynth advert.
All very nice.
All nice, positive, you know.
That's the Microsoft one, isn't it?
Yeah.
The white outlines that are coming in. The blog bit. It's really nice. It looks like he's holding nice 3D effects and stuff.
And then it cuts to what Apple adverts are like.
Baby's crying. I want a PC.
I think that sums it up brilliantly.
Well, that's the thing. You have to remember, it's kind of like Mac adverts are basically like a boring version of a what's those adverts? What's that clothing shop? The clothing adverts where the background's always white and there's always people dancing.
Don't know, I don't watch adverts.
Oh, people in the chat room, come on, help me. It's like Tab, but it's not.
Bob?
Gap.
Gap? Gip?
Get. Gap. Gap. The Gap adverts is always people dancing on a white background. And Mac, it's always people standing there in a white background. And it's so easy to do because all you need is a white painted room that you use for photography and then you just film it. And the background happens to disappear. It's how I did with the photography I was doing a couple of weeks ago. So it's kind of like, it's the same. And then they're boring, and then all they do is compare themselves to the PC all the time.
So what we talk about.
Yeah, they can't talk about what they're good at doing, they just say about...
Well, it's 50%, Microsoft, blah, blah, blah. It is. Oxley has a question, what if the bug button doesn't work? Well, you've buggered.
It won't do anything. install Spider-Man and hit him lots.
Yeah. Also, in the news, Project Hammer.
Rumours to be taking a pounding. Rumours are that Nintendo scrapped Project Hammer.
What is Project Hammer?
Project Hammer was a game where you were running around as this very high-tech character with a very large hammer, and it was their third-person action
high-tech
game.
Hammer?
Yeah.
What, like Homer Simpson's hammer, which like automatically hammers?
Oh, this is a big-ass thing, and you just like smash the crap out. It's a serious action ass-whooping game. It was shown at E3 in 2006, and it's been pushed back, and all you get is TBA written on all the magazines about Project Hammer, TBA, Project Hammer, TBA.
To be announced.
Is it truly been canned? We don't know, but...
Rumours are flying.
Rumours are that Nintendo sources that were, you know, that it looks like...
Rumours from unnamed sources. That's your first problem.
It's probably a lot of people stirring up the rumour mill, trying to squeeze something out to whether or not anything's happened from this. To be honest, it might be one of those games where, you know, there's quite a few games that were announced of coming out on the Xbox 360 or pre-launch and have yet to come out, because so there are these games where they're like, yeah, well, we're not going to release for launch. We're just going to mention we're doing it because we want to make a really good game. We're going to spend our time doing it. We've got the money to do it. This may be one of those games that it's just going to take a while. Look at Gears of War. Gears of War was mentioned very close. Was it pre-launch?
It was shown pre-launch, yeah.
It was shown pre-launch. It was a while before that came out because they took their time to make it good.
It was a year.
Yeah.
So year after launch.
We haven't even been to a year of the Wii, so I'd say keep holding on to your pants and wait.
Also in the news.
Yep. Half-Life 2 Orange Box release date set. The Orange Box will be...
Whoa, man, you quote the webpage exactly. You just quote the titles of all of them. Don't do that. People will know where we're getting our top secret information from.
Orange Box release dates. Half-Life 2 set date.
Release date set Orange Life 2 box.
Orange set date to release Life 2 halfway. Orange, you're doing what now? Mobile phone that can bring you back to life. Quick, press 999. Clear. I got no power.
I'm running your batteries down, mate. Right. So yeah, they basically announced a release date for Half-Life 2,
the Orange
Episode
Box.
2, with all the bits and bobs in it.
Out on the PC, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3, will be released on October the 9th. That's 5 days after my birthday.
But yeah, if you recall the previous episode, we talked about the lack of there being a retail option to buy Episode 2. Hopefully there will be a Steam option for it.
Yeah.
Because I don't particularly want to spend all that money buying stuff I've already got.
Yeah, because the problem is for you, you don't want Half-Life 2 and Episode 1 again. You just
Well, I'll just go back and get a refund on them otherwise.
You just want to get your hands on Episode 2 and then the
Team
Portal,
Fortress.
Team Fortress.
I don't care about Portal, that looks crap.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm that put
off. Look, you can open a Portal and implode.
I'm that put off with using Steam that I haven't played Half-Life 2 in ages, and I've got a feeling there's a chance I probably will never put it back on my computer.
Speaking of Steam,
actually, I don't even know where it is. I don't have it in my bedroom. It's not in. It's still in its tin somewhere. So, actually, that could be bloody anywhere.
Speaking of Steam, I had a recent game of DEF CON. Now the DEF CON I've got on this computer is a Steam one, and the DEF CON I've got that on that computer is a standalone version.
Mm.
That version was up and running 6 seconds. Steam version took about half hour.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 30 seconds to a minute. Simply because Steam had to start up, do all its updates, blah, blah, blah.
That's the reason why I am considering to go for the whole Orange Box and get Half-Life 2 again. Just for the fact that I'm going to get it on the Xbox 360. Fair enough, I'm lucky I don't have Episode 1. So I can go through Episode 1. But I've got a feeling I'm not going to go back onto the PC and play Half-Life 2, so I'd much rather play Half-Life 2 again and try and complete it this time.
And get the achievements.
Yeah, and get all the achievements and stuff. I'll lend you a copy.
Well, I've got over 4,000 achievements.
Yeah, I need to catch up. I've been out the game for a while.
I've got over 700. I've done 700 odd in Halo 2, and I've got 250 odd in Forza Motorsport. Because I've done all the arcade, all the time trials and everything.
Mm. I need to play a bit more arcade. I haven't played arcade.
So now I just need to focus on the career and get loads of money. So I'm onto races where you can get 100,000 credits in a single race.
That's cool.
45 laps, mind you.
See, there's plenty to do, because you could like say to yourself, right, I'm just going to buy every single car, race every single
car. Well, the thing is, you can't buy all the cars because you need to level up before you can unlock them all.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You've got to... You can't just keep doing the same race again and again. You can't do it like what
Mate James...
No, that's what I mean.
It's annoying.
Like what Mate James did, he would always just get... He'd play the game for a bit, and then he'd leave his brother sat there doing laps. And his brother would play the game constantly, not giving a shit. And then he'd give the controller back, and then James would deuce all the cars up and then carry on playing. Fair enough, you can level up with just playing the same track again and again. And like Paul said, it is boring. But... again, you can't just, if you're going on a track that gives you shitloads of money, you can't just save up and then go buy out the top car. You've got to level up to get to it. The other thing I do like is the fact that...
Well, you level up by getting money.
The leveling up means that there are tracks on the earlier segments, like the semi-pro and the show-off bit and all those bits in the career section, that even those ones you can't do until you've got to like level 25 and stuff. So it means that as you've worked your way through and you're semi-pro and then you're pro and you're working your way all the way through them, most of the time you can only play up to half of the courses that are there, and you have to go back and start again because you've got up to a level where you're able to go back to the beginning and play some of those later ones.
Yeah.
So the playability, it's...
It keeps you busy hopping around between events.
Yeah, and it's keeping events out of your way so that you're always got something to do. So it's got a game that's forcing you to stretch it out. It's not allowing you to just get bored quickly by playing all of the events straight away and get it over and done with, a bit like Gran Turismo was.
On the topic of Steam, Zagnut says Steam is the AIDS of the internet.
Amen, brother.
I won't go that far. It has improved a lot. But I had to install Steam back when it was very early on, when I was doing a beta for one of the Half-Life 1 mods. Which one was it? It might have been like the remake of Quake 1 Deathmatch. And I had to install Steam for that, and it was terrible.
Mm.
At least nowadays, it stays out the way when you're not using it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like I was playing a lot of Half-Life 2, and my mate was playing Counter-Strike at the time, and his dad wanted to know what the hell the fuss was about when he came to visit us at uni. James couldn't get it up quick enough, so I had to power it up for him, because my computer handled Steam better than his did. But I think he'd uninstalled it for some reason or something, so it is a pain in the arse if you haven't got it already up in the background. Once I got it on there, I must admit it wasn't a pain in the arse. You wait a little while and pow, it loads up automatically.
The thing is, it's one of those things that because it's constantly updating, if you don't play it or don't use it for a couple of months, you get hit by, you know, loads of stuff to update.
Yeah.
And that's where it's painful.
You know, you expect that sort of thing on massive multiplayers. Everyone expects it. That now and again, when I log into either World of Warcraft or City of Heroes, I'm expecting that update of, oh, I'm going to have to put the game to the side. And if it's like something like that, I'll go to either do something else and leave it downloading, or I'll just won't play it and I'll go, right, I know the next time I want to play this, I give myself plenty of time to download the update. But you don't expect that for a first-person shooter, especially when you're not playing multiplayer.
Because every other first-person shooter, it doesn't matter if you don't patch it unless you do multiplayer. You can still have a quick 10-minute blast.
Okay.
Anyway, also in the news last week was id Software showing off their new engine called id Tech 5.
No, they're showing this as a racing track, isn't it?
Yeah, the actual game itself linked with this is totally unknown. So they might be doing a racing game.
Or someone else who's probably, they might have already had a demo to someone, and this might be someone else's game that they're using the engine for.
Just as a racing game. But basically the big hoo-ha about it is one of the levels is like 20 gigabyte of textures covering the whole track.
The depth of field is absolutely amazing. Now, if you had just shown me these screenshots, I would swear these weren't from a video game, and I would say these were actually animated. Because it does look like For a video game, it looked pre-rendered.
Hang on, that might just be because they're small shots.
Yeah, true.
And they're taken off like a big screen with like a camera.
But they do look absolutely...
It's software, isn't it?
Does look amazing, but to think of that as...
There you go, that's another shot.
First person, it is going to be good, because I'm still waiting for... what's it called? That one with the first person shooter where it's all the new engine with the sun and it goes up and over.
Crysis.
I'm looking forward to Crysis. That is the next level of first person shooter environments. That is... I hope a lot of companies save up their pocket money and actually purchase the engine for that to do some decent stuff with it, because that is just going to be good.
Well, the thing is, I think it is falling behind.
As making engines for...
Because they're basing on OpenGL.
Where the Crysis engine is based...
DirectX
10, isn't it?
Yep.
So the whole new light system where developers can actually, if they wanted to, they could program the sun to actually either run in real time through story, run in real time as in it would, you know, even if it's like 12 o'clock midnight in real time, it's like 5 in the afternoon there, but as you're playing the game through, it would actually take you
time. You could do that in like most games if you wanted to.
But the environment is changing with you a bit more. It looks so much
better. Doom 3 could do that, because Doom 3 had a real-time rendered shadows and stuff. So.
Yeah, but as the light goes over, because we're moving the sun backwards and forwards, it just really gave that element of the sun changing a lot more and lighting looking much better.
Well, yeah, I mean, the main thing from DirectX 10 comes from being able to do physics on the GPU.
That was nice.
Unified shader, so you don't have to worry about, you know, topping out of a card's pixel or vertex shaders. You just have a fixed number of shaders, which you can do anything you want with. Things like that, really.
It looks absolutely amazing. It'll reason to buy a top-end PC.
Indeed. But yeah, it will be showing off the game. So we will know what sort of game it is at E3 in 4 weeks' time or whenever.
I've been thinking July with the 19th, amount of money it's going to cost to upgrade my computer, because so many components need upgrading. I'm so tempted to just...
get a new one.
Yeah, get a new one and buy a new hard drive. Remove my C drive, reformat it, shove XP, put Vista back on, and just use it as a storage thing and network it up and use it as a storage area for crap. And run it into a server.
Yeah, and then buy a Windows Home Server when it comes out. Yeah, speaking of Windows Home Server, new build.
Yeah.
This is Release Canada 1.
Looks absolutely amazing.
Dude, it's just a console for it.
I know, but it is just... You don't normally pay so much attention to a server to have it aesthetically looking pleasing.
So yeah, it looks nice. Nice, simple to control, blah blah blah. I mean, the real beauty of this thing will come when you're expanding data on it. Because if you take note of the HP hardware, the front is removable and you can just slide the hard drives out.
Yeah.
All you need to do on this is say to it, remove a hard drive, slide it out, put a bigger hard drive in, and you can just keep doing that forever.
Because it clones the hard drives across, so you just
remove one, put a bigger one in, it will do its duplication stuff.
Then remove the smaller one.
Well, yeah, if you actually tell it to remove, and you're removing data you've got on there, it'll tell you, hang on, dude, you're removing all your data, I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait till that goes final, and I can actually deploy it. Because then I can whack some really big hard drives in there.
Are you going to use...
Because at the moment, I still got Windows XP in that box.
Yeah.
I've put the two hard drives, one running home server, one running XP. So the XP one mirrors all the data on the home server one, just in case it goes wrong. But when it goes final, I'll blow away the XP install and let it use both drives. Buy some big ones, like some 500 gig drives, shove them in there.
So you're going to recreate the XP hardware yourself and use the software instead of
going out and buying the whole HP box.
Depends how much it is.
Yeah.
But to start with, I will just install it on that box. There's that box, it's, it works and everything, so. Although the HP machine is nice looking.
Mm.
But it costs more money.
Yeah.
What else has hit the universe this week? Oh yeah, we've had a comparison between the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 running Armored Core. Armored Core being this big PlayStation game, which everyone said, yeah, PlayStation, wow. But it's also coming out on the 360, and it looks better on the 360.
Yeah, one of the things we did look at is, me and Paul were looking at it, and I noticed that the PlayStation 3 model was in more detail.
Yeah, this is a zoom in on the actual mech dude.
Yeah, and we noticed, I was pointing out to Paul that the PS3 one is in more detail than the Xbox 360. And
until
then
you look really closely.
And we noticed the reason why. One of the reasons why you can see more detail on the PlayStation 3's model compared to Xbox 360 was the fact that the detail was hidden by shadows on the Xbox 360. And we noticed that there were barely any shadows. And we were flicking backwards and forwards, and there is shadows upon the legs hiding some of the detail created by the upper torso, where it looks like there's no shadows turned on. It's like there are barely any shadows on the mech whatsoever for the PlayStation 3 one, which just looks really weird. So,
well, the most obvious difference to me comes in the textures.
Yeah, on the buildings was a real big one. On one of them we can see it not so zoomed out on that original mech, and the windows to the left on the building, so much of a difference between
basically shots. In the 360 version they're just a flat dark blue. Yeah, on the Xbox 360 version they've got stuff reflecting in them and everything.
Yeah.
And if you zoom out at long distance, PlayStation 3 just washes out and you lose all the detail, but the 360 keeps the detail up. This is in one of the buildings.
Mm.
You know, you can actually see all the individual windows on the 360 version. But on the PlayStation version, the whole building is just like a big blur.
Yeah, it is big notice. But as I was saying to Paul when we were discussing this before the show started, we were saying that the biggest thing is to actually just compare both consoles running simultaneously next to each other, which we did do once when we had this Spider-Man the movie, and we were playing it off an Xbox, PS2, and a GameCube simultaneously, and there it just proved that it looked sweet on the Xbox, secondly sweet on the GameCube, and then not so sweet on the PS2. So I must admit, the true way would be to have both of these sat next to each other, like on two Dell monitors, and just side by side and get to the same level and see what it looks like. But I can't see where anybody can say that.
I mean, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, you can't say that. There's no way of saying that one's a large much better than the other. But
I mean, it's not like you really noticed it when you were playing.
Yeah, it's not going to ruin anything, but then I still can't see there's any reason to scream out that the PS3 is any better. And then you have to say to yourself, the price is more, why bother?
Well, I mean, if the PlayStation 3 owners want to get picky, Xbox 360 wins.
Mm.
You know, I'm happy to declare a draw, but if they want to get picky, 360 wins. I mean, just look at it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that game coming out. I'm required. Always wanted to get my hands on
it. It's a Japanese mech game, though, isn't it?
Yeah, my sort of thing. Where we still want Mech Assault out. We need to do a new Mech Assault. That would be absolutely sweet with Xbox 360.
Yeah, speaking of console sales, Xbox 360 has surpassed 11 million. PlayStation 3 has fallen over at about 3.3 million, and the Wii is at 7.6. So it's pretty much the same as it was last time.
Yeah.
Xbox 360 has 50% of the market. PlayStation 3 has 15, and Wii has 35. But it's interesting, seeing that the Wii is 50% of the market, the Wii is 35% of the market, it doesn't have the software it sells for it. People don't buy games on it.
Yeah.
You know, so although it's got a large user base, the people aren't buying games.
The sales on the Virtual Console are doing extremely well for what they were expecting, mainly because of the fact that they're all pre-release games, and a lot of them are before a lot of people's fans time that they can go out and buy it. There's a bit of complaints that there's one feature that the Xbox 360 has that this doesn't. Was the fact that because a lot of the games that come out on arcade on the Xbox 360 were specifically ported and made for that, which means that they have the ability and time to create them as demos, so they lock a lot of the features off and you can download them for free, where the Wii unfortunately doesn't have any of those features.
So you actually have to buy the game outright.
Yeah. But then most of the games I bought I've already owned before or played before, so I just be able to get all my old games, and I'm even buying games that I do own. Now, fair enough, I haven't gone out and bought Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time because I own 4 copies of the damn game. I'm not going to buy another one just so I can play it on the Wii.
Why do you have 4 copies of it? No wonder these people are still in business. People like you buy 20 copies of their games. You don't see me buying 12 copies of Halo.
Couple on the GameCube, and I've got couple of normal cards, but
well, that's one of the best things about Xbox Live Arcade. It can download all the Xbox Live Arcade games automatically, and so every so often you just have a demo of something new to play.
Yeah. One feature.
Then, if you like it, you can buy it.
One of the features that I do like about it, which is quite nice, is the fact that
it's a dinosaur on the list.
Because they've got such a library of games already.
Hey, Wiss is in the chat room. Hey, Wiss.
Yo, Wiss. Because they've got such a library. Instead of doing like what I was expecting them to do, which was to
set
literally
fire to the Wii,
have a
public burning,
a massive library there for you to go rooting around. So you could probably sit on there for like 4 hours. Rooting through all these games, making a short list of the top 10 you wanted to buy because you couldn't afford to buy too many. They've turned around and said, right, you have these many, which people are like, well, that's not that many. And then they waited and they released a couple more. Then they waited a little bit longer and that, another one's released, a bit of software. Then they turn around and go, here we go, here's your flood, 3 a week. So now you're getting 3 games a week, which adds a little element to it, because I must admit, when I come home from work early on Fridays, I know the first thing I do is when I get home is I sit down and I turn on the Wii and see what 3 games were out. Last week it was, can't remember what couple of them were, because it wasn't that interesting, it didn't seem that good, but they had released Super Mario Bros. 2.
Wow.
Which I'm tempted to play because my Nintendo is packed away and I can't get at it, and I haven't got the
room. How much is it? How much is your typical Wii funky download game?
It's £7, 1,000 points. And must be under 500 points for it, so it's half a 7.
It's about £4.
Yeah, £4.
Well, that's not bad, considering a lot of the live arcade games have gone up to 800 points, which is like £7 or £8.
N64 games are normally 1,000. Sega games are around about 600, some are 800, and some of the ones from the FX chip thing, which were like on lots of other consoles, it was kind of like ones that were out Pacific. They range from 600 to 800, but yeah, it's quite good. It's a really large selection. It is nice being able to have a console where I have preloaded Mario Brothers, Sonic the Hedgehog, Turtles, Street Fighter 2, Legend of Zelda. What else have I got on there? Super Pro Protector. So to have these games on there, and the other thing was I went over a friend's house, and because you didn't
set fire to his computer,
I didn't need the internet, so
no public burning.
Everyone sat there, a few beers, playing a bit of Sonic the Hedgehog. I had a massive bash on Super Mario World. I got Super Mario World as well, so it is. I must admit, as a games console, this was the next thing to try it out, because I've tried it out with my parents, and I've proven that you don't need to be a gamer to play this console. So my parents would pick it up extremely easily. And also it is really good for parties, so to take it over there, and we play out Wii Sports, playing a bit of Sonic, and everyone's just having a go, and the good thing was everybody was having a quick go on all the virtual consoles, and they were like reliving some of their childhood of being able to go back and play all the old games, even enough that Sarah's best friend Jimmy was sold and has gone out and bought one just for the fact of the virtual console. He thought it was absolutely amazing. So
big price though to buy a Wii just for that.
Well, he liked all the other stuff, but he wasn't enough to push him just over the edge. He was tempted, but he didn't know about all the virtual console stuff. So once he found out and they showed him the list of everything he could get,
he was sold. Right. Also, we have some stuff about Project Gotham Racing 4.
Yeah.
We're nearly at the end, Adam. Don't worry.
Yeah, my tea's ready now. Yeah, Project Gotham Racing 4.
Man, we're not at the end. We got that SimCity thing to talk about yet.
Yeah.
Damn, this episode, I did too much research beforehand.
Oh dear. Project Gotham Racing 4.
I'll let you talk about this, but you can get it over and done with pretty quick.
Yeah, they've released that this one will have much more of a weather engine, which allows...
It will have a weather engine.
Yeah, which allows...
A lot of games has gone cheap on lately.
There are going to be 10 different types of weather that got listed here. You're going to have clear, a normal sunny day.
Ooh.
It will be nice, sharp, crisp and clear looking. You'll have overcast, which they've had before. You did have overcast levels before, and then you had nighttime. You had dusk and nighttime sort of levels. You're going to have light rain, you know, a little bit of drizzle coming down, which will allow your back end to skid out a bit more. Heavy rain, which loads and
which
loads
of
water.
Which is light rain, only heavy.
Heavier. So it'll be completely erratic, frantic, you know, window wipers giving it watch for sort of thing.
Wet, which is just like the track being wet.
Yeah, which will be kind of like everything after that. Storm, which is going to be absolutely amazing because it's going to be having thunder and lightning elements added into it. So you're going to be doing some serious sliding around. Light fog, obviously we know all that is. That's going to add an element of whether you know the track or not, because you're going to... It's going to shorten your view down a lot more, which is going to make it a nice element to the whole lighting system with the lights and stuff.
Yeah, the lights, if they do it right, the lights will look fantastic going through the fog. Heavy fog, which is the same as light fog, only heavier.
And also icy. So it's going to be really, really cold and nice and icy, so you're going to have some serious power slides, and then you're realizing, I don't want to do the power slide anymore. I don't want to come up through wall. And some my ultimate favourite, which I love doing on that old rally game that I had when I had Rally Sport 2 on the Xbox, snow. So you'll be able to have some serious snow coming down, which is going to be nice.
That's good, because it's one of the cities is St. Petersburg, so they really, if they're going to have rain and stuff, they really need to have like snow.
Yeah, so it's going to give some serious elements to the game which have not been seen before. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, this isn't anything new, but it just goes over the different types of weather in the game, and the weather changes during the race as well.
Yeah, which is a nice element, because it means you could be driving around and all of a sudden it's just going to start raining, which means that you're...
I hope they don't go over the top with that.
Yeah,
because if every single race is in like snow or rain, it's, you know, realistically, how often does it rain? Not very often. How often does it snow? Extremely, yeah, snow should be like a very rare event, and it should only happen in like cold cities.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping, that it was going to be, that the weather is going to be more of a factor. The fact that you're racing in New York, you're racing in...
Racing in New York, you get fog.
You're racing in London, you're racing in...
Racing
Las
in
Vegas,
London, you get rain.
Petersburg, Japan. The weather was always sunny on every place you went to. It's a sunny day in Project Gotham Land. So it's nice that the weather is going to be different. You know, you're going to be able to, you know, play in London, and maybe they're going to have some points where it might be on a yearly schedule sort of thing, where you're playing the races through the year or something. Or it's going to be more in the sense of, as you're playing in London, you're more chance to fall into rain. Petersburg, you're more likely to snow. Fog's more likely to happen in there, but fog can happen in London, so...
Just don't go over the top with it.
You go to Las Vegas, it most likely will be a clear, sunny day.
70% of the races should be normal weather.
Yeah.
So don't go, oh, let's have 50% this, 50% that. Or, like, cut everything up to 10% each.
Arcade, I think it should just be affected by where you are and now and again, but it's a nice element of the fact that when you're playing two-player and you want to set up your own track, you could say, right...
Let's have some snow.
Yeah, I want to do London... Round the big eye, I want it to be piling on the snow and go round those corners.
Is London there?
I'm not entirely sure if London's one of the maps, but it needs to be, because the London was an absolute amazing track going round.
Boring. Edinburgh was better.
Yeah, I suppose. I just like that one because it had some really nice corners on it. And I liked the bit with the last bit of the corner before you take the straight up to the corner by the eye, where you had to go through the archways, and you only had three gaps to get through. That made some serious judgment calls on which one should I go for.
Yeah, my name's Adam. I'm going to spend half hour deciding which one I'm going to go for, and then I'm hit the wall.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to make a nice element, considering what has come out with Forza 2. Project Gotham 4 is got to come out with some sweet stuff to keep its head up as arcade racing.
Yeah. Ooh, last topic for today.
SimCity.
Yeah, so we covered on a previous episode that there would be another SimCity title. Well, it's been announced now. It's going to be called SimCity Societies. It's developed by Tilted Mill, who did Children of the Nile.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play that?
No, I played Children of the Nile.
Neither did I. But it was like, you know, game, you know, you sort of manage the civilization, like, around the Nile.
Yeah.
So you're faffing around doing all this. But it's going to have a new focus on social and cultural behavior and things like that. That's why it's called societies. Because it's...
You're not just taking
care. You're not just a mayor. You're now sort of this... You're like a Jesus.
Yeah.
Who can, like, run every detail of everything.
Yeah, it's gone into the... You've gone into the god powers of city-wide construction here. To be honest, I would like it so that you could change a hat. You know, like the phrase, what hat have you got on? What job are you doing? So, you know, like when you're playing SimCity... You have the mayor's hat on all the time.
Unless you clicked on God.
It'd be nice to be to go and be like a construction company.
Jesus builder.
Or do other things.
Comrade Jesus.
Yeah. Looks nice.
It's in 3D now, so you can zoom in like to the very street level and you know, see people doing stuff. It's got 350 different building types with like different styles. And everything, so it does look interesting. So check that out. They've got some nice screenshots for it and all that. Mm. Interesting to see what they do with it.
It's a new way for SimCity, so it would be interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, they are just using the SimCity brand on it to flog it.
If it's going to hold up to the same standard, that is.
I mean, just one of the screenshots that I saw remotely looked like SimCity. Because basically a lot of them were all zoomed in, goofing around.
You know, you got the nice trees and the elements. I must admit, when you clicked on it, it really had a very kind of cartoony feel, a bit like
Sport.
Paw. That's what first popped into my head. But it's got a bubbly feel. With some nice.
Just look at that. You've got, what is it, Westminster Cathedral? Or whatever it's
Japanese
called.
House, a Chinese house. And some real weird ass futuristic
traffic lights.
Yeah, that looks like something from War of the Worlds.
And then you got this like old time
car with this really bubbly, well uncut fire. And there's a mime crossing a road. Run him over.
It looks interesting, really colourful. This is the one screenshot.
It
which was like zoomed out, like city style.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm probably gonna buy it. Simply because I like games like that, where you like just build stuff and stuff.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. Anything else said about Spore? Seeing we're on the.
All quiet on the Spore front.
Yeah.
Other than next year. I think they bit off more than they could chew.
I think they backed away so people aren't whinging about it anymore, because I think they realised the more they were going on about it, more people were like, well, release it now. And they were like realising they're not ready to release it, so maybe it's time to just step away. They got everybody wanting it. Now
step
they can
away,
step away, go back into the shadows, work on the game. Nobody's going to mention it for a while, and other things are coming into the light. We're fair enough, we're getting into the lull of village video games for the summer. And then we'll be coming back out, and people are going to be wanting to know what's new for the PlayStation 3, because PlayStation 3 players are going to be hungry. What's next on the Xbox 360 and on the Wii, because hopefully by then we should have new Metroid Prime is out, Super Mario Galaxy should be ready to be coming out, lots more hot titles will be ready, so people will be paying attention to that. So it means that they can get on and get it sorted, and all of a sudden they'll just mention Wii, and people are like, ooh, what's happening? It's like, we're releasing it. That's what's happening. So I'm looking forward to it. I just hope that they haven't taken away too much of what's already been there, because it looked like you had such a plethora of a paintbrush of world to play with.
Yeah, don't cut it back.
No, it needs to keep it as it is.
Don't cut out the space game. Just don't cut out the whole thing other than the microbe game. We need more than Pac-Man. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, got that?
I like the microbe game.
Go tell Will Wright.
Yeah, I'll go do it now. I'm on the way.
Slow him out. Okay, he's sorted out now.
Yeah. He listens to me.
Woo, so that has been episode 76?
Yeah. Gamercast. Bow chicka bow wow.
Indeed, feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net, can be left on the blog at gamercast.net, or you can talk about stuff in the forums at portalforums.net. Other than that, we will see everyone next week on episode 77. When we will talk about stuff we haven't decided yet.
More stuff. Yes.
Until then.
Later.
Indeed.
Goodbye. The name's Bond. James Bond. Brr.